Yeah, God is good. Down through the years, different things have happened in my life. Brother Robert, Brother Bob talked about memories. When I was 6 years old, I was given a kitten. And I got a picture of a cat here. Some of you thought I didn't like cats. Well, when I was six, I was given this cat. And I named that cat after one of my childhood loves in first grade. Well, it turned out that cat was very productive. And she lived on, she had 20 lives instead of just 9 lives. And it got to the point where we had over 70 cats that were her descendants living on the farm there at one point. And we ran into some health issues with the cats and had to put some of them down. But anyway, they were pretty good mousers because we weren't feeding them. They had to survive off of the little bit of dog food they could snitch from the dog. And the rest of it was either eating mice or birds out in the fields. So we were appreciative of that. My freshman year in high school, I joined the FFA, the Future Farmers of America, and our particular chapter had a program called the Swine Chain. We had two gilts, young female future sows that were bred and ready to be handed out. Well, my dad had raised pigs when I was a young boy, and my hand popped up and I said, I'd like one. And didn't ask my parents, of course. Why you ask parents? What do they know, huh? Went home and informed my dad about it, and he said, well, we got to get the barn ready. If you're going to have baby pigs, we got to get ready. Well, it turned out nobody else wanted the other sow, and so I ended up with two sows. And it was in the middle of winter when they had their babies, the first litter. Both of them had the babies within a week of each other. Lost a few because of the cold winters up in Idaho, but most of them survived. And in the process, in the swine chain, what happens is you take two of the females from each of the sows, raise them, and then get them bred and turn them back to the chapter so that other boys can get started in the pig industry. Well, I had four pigs to turn back in for other boys. Fortunately, there were other boys who wanted to get started. But through that process, I also saved some female pigs, the gilts, for my own future. And through the next few years, by the time I was graduating from high school, I had over 20 sows raising pigs and had hundreds of piglets that I had sold and raised, and I had about over 100 in the lot that I was fattening up to sell to make some money, and I had future dreams of buying the farm that I was raising them on and starting the pig farm. I was dreaming that someday you might be eating rorbaugh pork. But God had different plans. And so I ended up selling all of those livestock. What's the point of all this? The point is that if you start with even meager, small means, great things can come from it. Great features can happen. We read in the Scripture of God's plan for humanity on the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, it begins that God created Adam and Eve, and He instructed them to be fruitful and to fill the earth. And from them came all of humanity. That's the biblical record. And when you look at genetics and everything else, it all matches the picture. All the ancient cultures, all the records indicate that there were one man and one woman created by a God. And the Bible tells us the true story. Unfortunately, what else happened in that process? Sin came to the picture, corrupted all of humanity to the point where there was only one righteous man left. And God judged the earth by what? A worldwide flood. God started over, did a reset. with Noah and his family. Through that process, 10 generations later, comes a man that we are introduced when he's in his older years. His name is Abram at this time. We are introduced to him, and God identifies this man as a father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. In the New Testament, Abram, now known as Abraham, is called our father. Have you ever considered yourself to be a child of Abraham? Many of you have. Some of you haven't realized that. Who is Abraham? Why is he important? How is it that we become his children? Before we get into this any further, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you that you are gracious and kind to us. We thank you for your plan that you have recorded in the Scriptures. And we thank you for the many, many illustrations, many, many points of value that you have given to us throughout the Scripture, and the important teaching that we are to be children following in the steps of Abraham. Father, we thank you for your great love upon humanity, so much so that you have provided the Savior that all of us need. We thank you that Jesus has come, paid the full price for our sin, and the promise that he is coming back again in power and glory and majesty. Father, help us to understand better this picture of your great love, not just for us, or not just for the people of Israel, but also for all people, that Jesus came to save all people. Help us to understand better. Guide us and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I made a statement that how is it possible for us to be children of Abraham? And I don't know if any of you are of Jewish ancestry. You automatically think of that because Abraham would be the great patriarch that all of the nation of Israel looks to. But for the most of us, we are Gentiles. We are from different lines of humanity. And so that great question raises up, how can we be children of Abraham? How can he be our father? Some of you probably got a little nervous and thought I was going to have you start singing Father Abraham. That's an action song we do in the kids' church. And probably all of us need that extra exercise right now, but we are not going to do that. Let's go ahead and look at a scripture. We're in Romans, the book of Romans. We're going to be looking at chapter 4, the entire chapter, but I'm going to only read at this point verses 1 through 16, which gives us this picture of how all people are called to be children of Abraham, that he needs to be our father. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, was found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to him, and the father of circumcision to those who might, who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. For the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would be heir of the world, was not through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I'm going to stop right there, ending on that point, that it's by faith that we are the children of Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith. Now, in the previous chapters, those of you who have been with us the last few weeks, we've been walking through the process. Paul has been pointing out that there is no person who is justified before God. We are all guilty of sin. All of us are guilty of sin, and sin brings what? Death. It brings death to us physically and also spiritually. And so we're in a terrible condition. How is it that we can come to God? Now, the Apostle Paul turns to one of the great examples of somebody whom God showed that he was a righteous man. Not sinless, but he was a righteous man. And God showed his approval of Abraham and called him to be the example for the rest of us. So let's go into our notes here. The first point I want to bring out is Abraham was a man with growing faith in his life. It was a growing faith. It wasn't just a statement that I believe in God and then that was it. No, there were some actions, some results that took place as a result of his statement and as his conviction of his heart. The growth of this faith is recorded in Genesis chapter 11 through 22, where he is introduced as Abram. He's 75 years old at that point, so we don't know what took place the first 75 years of his life. There was a lot of stuff that took place before we actually have the record. But God knew Abraham's heart and his choices that he would make in the future, just as God knows your choices that you are making today and your future choices. God knows how much? Everything, all things. And so God saw the potential in Abraham of what could be done. Not just in Abraham, but in the descendants to come, clear down to Joseph and Mary, through whom, what happened? The Savior was sent into this world. His Son, Jesus Christ, put on human flesh. All of this was in the plan of God as he works with Abraham, the first in the line of this chain of events that would take place over the centuries. Abram obeyed God's call and he left his homeland for a new land. Now that's quite a challenge. We read this story in the Old Testament. He had been raised in the land called Ur of the Chaldees. This was the center of culture. It was the place to be. It was where most of humanity began after the flood. And the problem was it was filling up with idolatry and false religions. They were thriving. And God decided to move Abram out of that influence, out of that culture, to a land that he would give to him a future home, even though Abram would only own one little plot called a cemetery, a burial spot during his lifetime. But God promised that through the future, his future family would own all of this territory. Brother Raymond read this passage for us earlier this morning, and I would encourage you, if you're not familiar with the life of Abraham, go back and read those chapters and become familiar with your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-father of the past. God declared Abram to be righteous due to his belief in God's promises. Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 6 is this text where it says that God credited his faith as righteousness. And God repeated his promises to Abraham on several different occasions. In this particular passage in Genesis 15, God began revealing the future of his descendants, that they would become slaves for 400 years in a foreign land. But God was still in control. God would take care of them. And then at this point, God changed his name to Abraham, the name that we are most familiar with. And it's an interesting thing. Abraham lived 600 years before God gave the law to Israel. Now, going back, the nation of Israel at the time of Jesus put a lot of credit in the fact that they were the people who had the law, and they were following the law. And Paul reminds them, let's think back to Abraham. What did he have to follow? He did not have the law. He came 600 years before the law. So how is it that Abraham is considered to be righteous? Did he keep all of the law? He didn't have a law to follow, so it wasn't that. Israel didn't even exist at that point in time because the father of the nation didn't even have any children when God made these promises. No children, no law. So what is it that God was looking at? God promised Abraham he would have a family that would inherit the promised land. But at this point, his wife was past childbearing, her prime years of raising babies. So 11 years after this, Sarah kind of throws in the towel and said, I've had it with this plan. Why don't you take my handmaiden, take my servant, Hagar, and maybe she can have a baby for us, and I'll just adopt that child as the plan. The result of all that, Ishmael was born, and along with Ishmael came all kinds of headaches, if you've read the story. Now, most of the, not most, a lot of the Eastern peoples are descendants from Ishmael, as well as some other boys that came later. But with them came a host of problems that continue today, as we are very familiar with in our news media today. God rejected Ishmael, but said that Sarah would be a mother. Be patient, Sarah. Be patient. Well, at that point, she was already, let's see, she was 75, 76 years old. How many of you ladies are excited about having a baby at 76? Still got to wait? Oh, my goodness. God bless Sarah with a baby. How old was she? She was 90 years old. 90 years old when God finally fulfilled the promise. She had to wait all those years. God further tested Abraham's faith as the boy grew. A few years later, God instructed Abraham to do what with Isaac? take him out and sacrifice him as a blood sacrifice. And at the last moment, God provided the ram, testing the faith of Abraham. And in that story, if you read that story, you see that Abraham believed that God would somehow raise Isaac back to life. And in that story, another factor is that Abraham was taken to the very mountain where the temple would eventually be built. The same mountain. That's a beautiful illustration that God was showing us of his future plan of redeeming man by giving his own son as the final sacrifice for all humanity. It wasn't the end, though, with his death, because what happened? What happened to Jesus? Did he stay dead? He rose again. He conquered the grave because he was not guilty of any sin. He had no sin on his own part, even though he paid for all of ours. Wonderful story illustrated in the story of Abraham. Water break. The second point in our message is here, Abraham is a father of faith for the Israelites, for the Israelite nation. Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, all of those scriptures in the Old Testament pointed the Israelites to look for the Messiah, and Jesus would come as that ultimate Messiah, but it would come through Abraham. Paul reminds his fellow Israelites that the example of their first great patriarch should be followed according to God's ways, not by human standards, but by God's ways. Every Israelite was a descendant of Abraham through Isaac and through the bloodline. They were blood relatives, but God did not give every relative the promises that he had made to Abraham. Even though Ishmael was from Abraham, Ishmael did not receive the promises except for the last one, that he would have access to the blessing to all the earth. Several other boys were born to Abraham later after Sarah died through another wife, but they are excluded from those promises as well. They were sent away from Isaac and his territory. God declared Abraham was righteous based upon his what? His belief. Belief in God. His trust in God's promises. Abraham did not earn this righteousness by keeping rules and regulations, by keeping some law, because the law had not been given. He was basing it upon believing God's word, the statements God made. He put his faith and trust in God. Abraham did not earn the righteousness by keeping any set of regulations to prove how godly he was. Another factor that the Jews put a lot of credit in was that they were the circumcised. They were the ones who obeyed this command. Paul points out that circumcision was not the factor. Circumcision was a later part of God's covenant with Abraham's seed. This practice was begun 24 years after God had made the promise to Abraham that he was righteous. And verse 11a, the first part of verse 11 points this out. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. 24 years passed by before the practice of circumcision in the lineage of Abraham and his descendants. Circumcision did not and still does not make any person righteous. And the New Testament, we are taught, Gentiles, you don't have to follow this practice. It is not a requirement. The Jews were trying to make the Gentile Christian converts follow this practice, and the church guided by the Holy Spirit, said, no, that's not a necessity. That does not save you. Israelites should be the first to in line to follow Abraham's example. They should be following the example of their great patriarch Abraham. They are quick to claim him as the beginning of their nation. Israelites need to also look at why God blessed Abraham. It wasn't because of circumcision. It wasn't because of the law. It was because of his faith in God. Let's read the verses 18 through 22 of Romans 4, where it continues on with this thought. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had also already been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. His faith in God was what made him righteous. The third point, Abraham is the father of faith for the nations. Paul has been pointing out the humble beginnings of Abraham. The great ancestor of Israel was originally like every other person, but he was made great by God as he committed himself to trusting in and obeying the Lord's instructions and the Lord's promises. Abraham was a basic Gentile. Ooh, what? He was a basic Gentile man when God chose him. He was a descendant of Noah's family like everybody else. Abraham was uncircumcised. He didn't have any law to follow. He was a Gentile in the standards of the law. But he had a heart that was committed to believing God's message, unlike any other of the time. God spoke of the righteous common people using King David when he wrote verses 7 and 8, which is taken from Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. The Lord, who knew Abraham's heart, also read the hearts of other believers who placed their faith and trust in him. The third point is the Savior of all humanity is a descendant of Abraham. God promised at the end of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. All families will be blessed through Abraham. Jesus Christ is the Savior that was promised. He is a descendant from Abraham. He is a child of Israel. He was a Jew. He was born of two parents who came from the right family. Whose family? David's family from the tribe of Judah. All of the prophecies were fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus repeatedly spoke of all who would hear his words, his voice, and followed him. They would be saved. What does John 3:16 say? This is Jesus speaking. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Beep, 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 beep. You know, he's pointing at himself. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And all the message of Jesus centered on him being the Savior, fulfilling all the promises, all the prophecies, just everything about Jesus was the answer. The Jews should have recognized that. Some of them did. Fortunately, the apostles, the early church for the first approximately 10 years were all Jews. But unfortunately, the majority of the Jewish nation rejected Jesus. So sad. And today, how many of the Jewish nation accept Jesus today? Very few. We hope and pray that they would accept Jesus. Not only them, but those who are of the descendants of Ishmael. Because Jesus came to be a blessing to every nation. And there is salvation in only one Savior. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus Christ. And until people of every nation accept Jesus, they are still going to be lost. They're going to be upset with each other. They're going to be lost. They're going to be fighting. And they are going to hell. Only Jesus has a pathway to heaven. The last point, Abraham's belief in God is an example for everyone to follow. He was blessed through faith in God. The last verses 22 through 25 of Romans chapter 4. Therefore it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. God wants to give us eternity, but we have to be righteous. We have to be justified, and that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Abraham is called the father of a multitude of people who believed in God. They were from every generation following on this earth. What is our stand with God? Do we have the faith of Abraham? If God asks you to go out and kill your firstborn, would you obey God? If God asked you to leave your home right now, would you pack up and go? Or would you say, well, I need to know what your plans are. Who's going to take care of my place while I'm gone? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Don't argue with God. When he asks you to do something, do it. Trust him. Believe in him. Most importantly, put your faith and trust in following Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Savior of all humanity. If you haven't given your life to the Lord, we encourage you to do so. Don't delay. If you have questions, please talk to the elders or myself. We would be glad to help you and guide you in answering whatever challenges you're facing. Most importantly, your walk with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for redemption in Jesus. We thank you for Abraham, his faith, his walk. Help us to believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.